From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSAT HD2 Chicago, the new home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000. It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Jesse Rogers here in a minute. I also want to play something for Waddle and everyone else who may have missed it from Jed Hoyer back on Thursday. We had him for 20 minutes. You can get that on the ESPN Chicago app in its entirety. If you want to listen, a lot of direct questions to Jed Hoyer. And speaking of the ESPN Chicago app, that is a great way to always listen to the show. And there are three easy locations to listen now. The ESPN Chicago app, of course, on your radio on ESPN 1000, and now on the FM side of things. This was announced today on Cap and Jay Hood, 100.3 HD2. HD radio is free. It's been available on your cars for about 20 years right now. And if you go to the FM side and you seek out 100.3, it's one click above 100.3. It will go from 100.3 to 100.3 HD2.
If I have a smart car, can I just ask it to do it, or no, that doesn't work?
It depends how smart your car is.
Okay.
Yeah. That's got to be a really smart car.
Okay.
One of the issues that I had originally was I had to go into my settings on my car radio and enable HD radio to be able to turn on, that it just wasn't like on the default settings. So seek that out if you got it, and it's crystal clear. If you live downtown,
yeah,
especially when you're driving under the L tracks, if you're around, you know, some of the bigger buildings, sometimes the AM signal, it gets a little fuzzy.
This is
crystal clear all the time.
Not only is it crystal clear, but most of the things you and I say make more sense.
No, it doesn't.
Yes.
That's impossible.
That is not impossible. That's what this feature does.
No, it's not dummy proof. It's just HD radio.
No, it's dummy proof.
I don't think so. So again, not only all your favorite shows, but now White Sox baseball available in all three locations. ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Jed Hoyer was on the show back on Thursday, and this is a question I've been wanting to ask him for a long, long time, because when they made the Yu Darvish move, it signaled to all of us that they weren't trying to win this year, that they weren't willing to go all costs to win the World Series this year. So I asked Jed Hoyer on Thursday, is the goal of this year's team from the organization to win it all?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this a lot. Not on this show, but in general, you know, you sort of watch the first, you know, 3.5-4 months of the season, and you make an evaluation about where you are. And obviously, with so many guys being free agents, if we're not competing, then that's a time that you have the moment where you can you know, make some trades and gather some young players for the future. Obviously, when you're competing, which we are, you know, the goal is to win. And if you're gonna you know, make acquisitions, you know, at the deadline, you know, the goal clearly is to win the division, to make the playoffs. And obviously you want to, you know, once you get in the tournament, you have a chance to win the World Series. So I think, you know, certainly we were open about evaluating, right? Evaluating the team, see where we are. And, you know, the way we're playing right now has been excellent. And, you know, I certainly, you know, expect us to continue to play well and to be on the buy side as we get close to the deadline. And then, of course, the goal is to win the division and to win the World Series.
And what does that mean, the buy side? Because this team cannot pitch from a starting standpoint. Jake Arrieta may be done. Let's bring in Jesse Rogers, who is brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Jesse, did the weekend prove anything to you? And do you still think that they're going to be on that buy side big time?
Well, I do think they could slip out of first by the end of the month. I've always thought that, simply because it's just such a tough month. I thought it caught up with them a little bit over the weekend. It's bound to catch up with them again as they go out west for four to the Dodgers and then right to Milwaukee for three. Mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting. But even if they fall out of first, it probably won't be by much. It's amazing what they're doing considering how bad the rotation has been. Now, they've had moments where the starts have been okay. Like Hendricks has won seven in a row, so it's not like every guy every night is bad, but collectively, it's like a 4.20 ERA. It's down in the bottom third of the league. You don't win divisions usually and championships that way. But because they're playing so well in other areas, like the bullpen, for example, and for the most part their offense since May, although the last six games has kind of dried up a little bit, the fact that they're playing so well in other areas, it's made up for the rotation. Can that continue for months on end? Tend to doubt it. All the other first-place teams have great rotations. Even the second-place teams do. So he's going to have to add on. I think that's been pretty clear for a while now.
Jess, I'm going to read you a series of numbers, which I'm sure you already know, but I'm going to refresh your memory, and I'm going to get your impression of it. What does it mean? Because as Jed said to Sylvie, like, there's an evaluation process, and there are a lot of big decisions to make, and you know, they are in a different position than maybe they thought they would be. In the month of June, and this isn't a small sample size, it's June 21st, Chris Bryant's hitting 127 with an on-base percentage of 200. Javi Baez is hitting 115 with an on-base percentage of 164. Contreras is hitting 176 with an on-base percentage of 236. And Rizzo's hitting 235 with an on-base percentage of 288. That's just in the month of June. Are these guys starting to trend back towards what we saw from them last year and the year before, or is this just a blip over the course of a long season?
A little bit of both, actually. I hate to give you a cop-out answer, but I think the month is catching up with them. They're facing such good pitching. Think of all those Mets guys they had to face. It's just been a tough month, but they are who they are. And I think I said this on Saturday on the radio. Like, if anything, this season has reminded us, you are who you are at the plate, right? Wisdom, Duffy, Horner, like, we know who they are, and we know what Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez. We know what they are, and there's moments and stretches of greatness. That's why they became stars and all-stars, but then there's other moments where, okay, they come back down to earth, and they're not necessarily viewed as the elite of the elite, right? So that's they are who they are, and so, you know, water's going to find its level. You have a great May. You sort of come back down to earth in June. I bet they go on a run in July. I also think the schedule has caught up with them. I think that is absolutely part of the equation. For 7 years, I've talked to you about schedule games and series and months. May was golden for them. June is complete opposite, and you're seeing it on the field.
Is Jake done?
I mean, yes. In terms of the old Jake, yes. I think we knew that going into the year. He had some really good performances to maybe, you know, convince us. But it's almost like what we went through with Lester. There were some times when Lester was out there, wow, it's the old Lester, he's back. And then it just didn't last long enough. I mean, Arrieta's got some good starts in him left, but is he a 4.5 ERA kind of guy? I think so. And this is him being healthy and everything. Like, you know, you can't even say, oh, he's hurting, at least not that we know of. So, yeah, in terms of thinking this is a Jake of a 3 ERA Jake or the Jake that we saw, yeah, I think he's done. Now, can he take the ball every 5 days and produce a 4.5? Yeah, I think he can. He's won some games where he hasn't looked good, stranded runners on the base pass. Sylvie, you and I have texted about that. But then there's the other clunkers. And that's probably the summation of this starting rotation, right? Zach Davies at times looks like Cy Young, and then there's some clunkers. And those clunkers are you are out of the game before it even starts almost. And that's what we saw Friday and Saturday. They were done before, and there's been too many of those where you just, yeah, once in a blue moon you have that great comeback, but most of the time when you're down 7-1 after 3 or whatever it is, it's over. And that's the category Jake and maybe even Zach in some ways is. There's good ones, but then the bad ones are really bad.
See, Jesse, I'm worried that he's not even a 4.5 pitcher anymore. That the last several starts, I believe his ERA is 7. Like, yeah. this guy is not throwing 90. He told us at the beginning of the year that was no big deal, that his other stuff was working. But he just doesn't look very good at all. Doesn't look mediocre even.
I would wonder, and again, I know there's several players below the 85% threshold with regard to vaccinations. But if they were closer to that number, Jess, would that factor into Jed's decision-making process at all with regard to someone like Jake?
Those are good questions. I mean, very difficult for me to answer. I do know of at least one other GM that was willing to make those decisions to get his team to 85%. In other words, you're saying replace a non-vaxxer with a guy that would get vaccinated and get – no, I don't think they're that close. Jed is already on the record saying they're not one player away. And I don't think he'd make personnel decisions based on that. But back to Sylvie's point, if it wasn't Jake Arrieta and those numbers continue, he would be a DFA candidate.
Yes, right.
On a one-year deal, I don't think they're there yet, especially considering they don't have a lot behind him, right? I think they're going to keep rolling him out there. And I do think there are going to be some decent starts in him. It's just been a bad run right now. Maybe there's more bad than good. I'm just saying, I think there is enough in there that you'll see some good. I could be wrong. No one has a crystal ball. But, Sylvie, I know where you're headed. I understand that. There is a scenario, if this went on four more weeks, he'd be a DFA candidate. I don't know if they would do that to Jake, but maybe.
One last Cubs thought from me, Jess. Yeah. How much concern is there? That, I believe when Chris Bryant went in a bit of a slump a couple years ago, it had to do with him getting on the hit on the hand or the wrist or the thumb. How much concern is there that he may go through the same thing after being hit by that pitch in New York, I believe, last Wednesday?
I think quietly there's always a little concern because he's had so many nicks and it's taken him out of his game. Now, I think he was slumping before that, right? I don't think he was on much of a tear before he got hit. But if that's added to it, then that won't be good. I haven't heard anything like, oh, man, it's really affecting him. He should be out of the lineup. But you never know. Players sometimes aren't completely honest. But it's been an extended slump. So, again, is water finding its level? I hope not. I think it's just a slump and he gets hot again and, you know, the OPS gets back over 900 or close to 1,000. But, Tommy, I don't know the answer if it's affecting him right now. All I know is the slump's predated the hit by pitch.
Jesse, to the White Sox now, you know, they won the series against Toronto. They won the series against the Rays. But people are still going to circle four against Houston and say, yeah, see, they're not as good as you think. How do you come away from this White Sox series?
Well, I said earlier, win, lose, or draw, they need to play these games right outside the division, on the road, feel it, understand it, and get better for it. Now, I will say this. I think this is the right record. I think they're 26-6 against below 500 teams. And do the math. That means they're under 500 against plus 500 teams. There is something there that they need to elevate, but they can't do that unless they just play. I wish the division was better for them, right? But it's not. So you got to learn. You've got to learn. I don't think their starting rotation was exposed. I think their lineup was a little bit exposed. Like, if this was the playoffs, you'd be a little nervous about this lineup, especially against really good right-handed pitching. We know they can handle lefties for the most part. I don't think this rotation showed any holes. They were due for a couple bad starts. So I'm sort of in between. Like, I don't think it's really meaningful, but I think it's meaningful they learn from it and get better and understand they're going to have to elevate their game. They lost three in New York. They lost four in Houston. Can't just win those home dates, right? So I think it's all learning experience. I think Tony understands that. He talked about that after the game. Let's see where they are a couple months from now when they play a tough one on the road. But it was ugly. That was a butt-whipping. There's no other way to put it.
Jesse, you've always said when healthy, they needed more left-handed slugging to begin with. With Kyle Schwarber doing what he's done, he was the NL Player of the Week. He had 5 home runs in 2 games. He had 3 home runs yesterday. He's on a 1-year deal. I've had Sox fans reach out to me, friends of mine, saying, boy, he's perfect for this team. He's got the playoff experience. He can DH. He can play one of the corner outfield positions. Is Kyle Schwarber a possible target for Rick Hahn?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's doing that, by the way, at leadoff, which was his, you know, kryptonite a few years ago. So amazing how sometimes a change of scenery or change makes a difference. Absolutely. I think any of these left-handed bats out there would be on the market. I saw the Blue Jays are looking for a left-handed bat, so they won't be the only team. But it's not like there's going to be 10 teams looking for a left-handed bat, right? Most teams need pitching, starting pitching. The Sox don't need that. So, yes, Schwarber should be on the radar if the Nationals sell. Remember, they were a team that was 19-31 and won the World Series. I'm assuming they're going to sell, but I don't know that for sure. If the Cubs fell out of it, Jock Peterson, who the Sox have always liked, would fit well over there. So, absolutely, any of those names will be on his radar. I pretty much know that for a fact.
Schwarber has 18 bombs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Quietly got into 18 bombs.
And 240. And yeah. He's hitting 240, which is actually above league average.
Yep.
So, pretty good season.
Yep.
We've always said, like, he's Adam Dunn. Like, if he could hit 240, 340, right. You know, and then
40 home runs.
Yeah. And then just do what you do. That's what you take. It's not what you expected from him to start his career, but it's what you certainly would be happy with now for any team that has him.
Yeah. And look, Adam Eaton just wasn't doing enough and then he got hurt. Jake Lamb hit a homer yesterday, but you need danger. You need a threat from the left side every single time. I love Moncada and he's the guy if he's healthy. But he's still not Schwarber in terms of just that pure danger. So I think Rick Hahn needs to go out and do it. I think this weekend was another example of of them being a little short in the lineup from the left side.
Yeah, and it won't cost you a ton, that's for sure. All right, Jesse, good stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess.
All right, look for the sticky stuff tonight. Should be
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Sticky stuff.
Yeah, sticky stuff. Sticky stuff. They're starting to put you through
and
the secure.
Ref-
it's like we were joking in the IDOT bullpen before the show, whether or not they would set up like an airport security system where they would show you, you know, they'd wind you down when you come off the mound and everything like that. And remember, IDOT reminds you that driving, biking, or walking responsibly really is a matter of life or death. Learn more or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com. Did Tom Brady want the Bears? But the Bears didn't want Tom Brady. I'll bring that to the table coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
The Sox are off today. They'll start their series with Pittsburgh tomorrow.
Could probably use the day off.
Right around this time, I believe, the pregame show will begin tomorrow, 5:30 pregame.
Yes.
For Sox in Pittsburgh. I'll get to the sticky stuff in a little bit because we saw some humorous highlights.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Coming out of some day baseball. I want to play. I got a couple of NFL things for you. And then I know C-Red Fred wants to talk about Ben Simmons. Anything on your mind from the weekend, 332-3776. We've had a ton of calls today on the Bears Stadium issue. It's obviously where we've talked a lot about on this show since Thursday, since the announcement came on. We had the mayor of Arlington Heights on today. Catch that interview on the ESPN Chicago app. But whether it's about the Bears Stadium issue, whether it's about the baseball that you saw from the weekend, sticky stuff, Ben Simmons, the Bulls, like we threw that out there. Anything on your mind? 332-3776. I do want to, we played this earlier in the show. It was right before Waddle's World. We did it briefly. I think I played it for, Adam Amin, I played this for.
Yeah.
Before we get to the thing that is getting everyone speculating on what Tom Brady said on HBO, I want to remind you this. So Tom Brady's a free agent. And he didn't look good, remember, when the end of his New England season happened. What, did he throw a pick six?
I think so.
His last pass against Tennessee?
I think the tail end of that entire year was not vintage Tom Brady.
So everyone's like, oh, Tom Brady could be done. And remember, there wasn't this overwhelming surge from Bears fans saying, go get Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a free agent. Go get Tom Brady. Now, a year later, that looks stupid. It looks stupid from all of us. Like, you've always said, when you get Tom Brady, you change your entire locker room.
Yes.
Change the way you do business. So this was Dan Patrick way back when. Was this back even in the fall of last year? This was back from September of last year. On the Dan Patrick show, they were talking about the free agency of Tom Brady. Take a listen to this.
Did you know that the Bears were in the final list of teams for Tom Brady? Did you know that?
Are you just messing with me?
No, I swear that the final list that Brady was looking at, the Chargers, the Bears, and the Buccaneers. I was told this yesterday. And I went, wait a minute. The Bears said yes. Brady was considering the Bears. The Chargers were the long shot because it was West Coast. He didn't want to be on the West Coast, and unless it was San Francisco.
Brady couldn't overcome what the Bears can do to quarterbacks.
But the fact that he was considering the Bears, Chicago at least, because he wanted to be able to be in proximity to New York where his son is. So he's got a son with Bridget Monahan. And they live in New York, and he wanted to be able to be close enough to him, but ended up taking, you know, Tampa Bay. But I found that interesting. I had not heard that Brady was considering the Bears.
All right, now I want you to guys understand of how Dan Patrick phrased that whole thing, and I wrote it down. Never once did he say these were the teams in on Tom Brady. He always phrased it, this was the final list for Tom Brady. Like, this was his list. This is who he was interested in. He said it was the Bucks, the Bears, and the Chargers. And he, again, reiterated, it was the list that Brady was looking at. So then this came out for the preview of the show called The Shop. And Brady's talking about his free agency, and he brought this up.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
So who is that team?
So when you do the legwork and you put the hints together, where Tom Brady, Dan Patrick, one of the best in the business, just told you from September that Tom Brady had a final list of the Chargers, the Bears, and the Bucks.
He also mentioned San Francisco. Didn't he mention San Francisco in that bite as well?
Now, like, a lot of people have speculated about, was it Jimmy Garoppolo that he was talking about?
He didn't want to go to the West Coast unless it was San Francisco. I think that's what Dan Patrick said. So maybe...
Now, Garoppolo was coming off of a Super Bowl appearance.
Right.
Again, listen to this. Tom Brady.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
And is he talking about Mitch? Is that Garoppolo? I think it's only Garoppolo or Mitch. I don't think it could be anybody else.
I think it's Garoppolo because, I still don't believe Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady was going to go to Tampa. It seems more right than him coming here.
Did you know that the Bears were in the final list of teams for Tom Brady? Did you know that the Bears...
So what is that? I mean, like... I know you believe that, but guy's telling you.
Yeah,
it was on Tom Brady's final list. The final list was the Chargers, the Bears, the Bucks. And then here, this comes out today.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother.
It's interesting. I mean, of the three, yes, I would think that it would be Mitch if you're limiting that to the Chargers, the Bears, and the Bucks.
Right.
I still believe it's Garoppolo.
I still believe it's San Francisco.
I mean, if he was going to go to the West Coast, he wanted to go back home.
Do you guys believe that he's talking about the Bears? Black, do you believe he's talking about the Bears?
No.
You think he's talking about Garoppolo?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wouldn't. To be honest, I don't care. It's a clip from a show that's going to air, so it's a little clickbaity. They're like, they want us to react this way.
I think it's
fun. I think if you really want to read into it, why would he have malice towards Trubisky? He wouldn't. He would have malice towards Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. So he calls him an MF-er. He wouldn't call Trubisky an MF-er.
But then sticking with that guy. It's just another way to say that guy.
Yeah, like they're going to stick with that guy. He's no good. But he's got malice towards Garoppolo because of what happened with the Patriots.
312-332-3776. And then there's this. Here's the other. This is sort of silly, too. Heard this on Get Up. You know, every day they spend on Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's the new Dak Prescott. And I get it. It's a really pressing issue. You want to know how this is going to end.
If you're interested in the NFL, that's, if not the top story, it's top two or three.
Did you hear what has Packers fans excited?
No.
That this is what is getting them to believe
free
that he's
cheese.
Coming back. You're close. He has renewed his country club membership at Green Bay Country Club.
Well, why would you renew it if you weren't going back for a year?
That's the detective work there.
I think that's an actually pretty good hint. Why else would you do it?
I think because it's an automatic renewal.
Unless
you're tweaking them.
How much money does Aaron Rodgers have?
He's made in excess of $200 million in the league, hasn't he?
I would have memberships between 5 and 10 country clubs around the United States.
I'm not having one in Green Bay if I'm not going to be in Green Bay.
Maybe he wants to. He's going to be. He's a Packer. Nobody's, great, regardless.
He ain't going back.
He's going
to
be spending
golf.
Time
New,
there in New. The Ring of Honors.
He's a Milwaukee
Hall of
Bucks
Bames.
Co-owner.
He
he's
is a Bucks co-owner. Yeah, there you go.
It's not where you go to play your golf. The
Take
Green
that
Bay
PJ.
Golf.
You line
the Green
right,
Bay. You know where you go? You go to Riviera. Probably get on at Augusta, Kapalua.
But how much
you go to Pinehurst? How you much don't go to the Green Bay Country Club?
When was he a membership at the Green Bay Country Club? $20?
It's a pop-up card.
Don't you realize that principle means everything to him? Or is he tweaking everyone in Green Bay by renewing his membership because it's not a large sum of money just to get people going.
That makes me like Aaron Rodgers
that
even
he would
more
tweak the fan base
to have the expendable income just to mess with people.
Yes.
That's my dream.
Yeah,
I don't need money for my kids, the future kids, whatever. I just want money to mess with people. That's all I want. That's great.
Yes.
Couldn't it be a solid
ethical approach to life. I like that.
Couldn't it be one of these subscriptions, though? I know it's a membership, but you know, sometimes when you subscribe to different services, like if you don't cancel before X amount of date, it automatically goes into effect for another year.
It's not an export.
I'm just saying, maybe he had to write them a handwritten letter
to get out of the contract.
He had to cancel by June 15th, and he didn't. And so now it's renewed.
I mean, if you resign, to get out of a country club, you have to resign from it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair
statement.
And then
it automatically just renews. I don't know.
It's probably a nominal amount of money, especially for him.
There's some silliness. If you want to weigh in on Bear Stadium, and was Tom Brady dissing the Bears? Is Aaron Rodgers returning because he renewed his Green Bay Country Club membership? Hmm. Some silliness to discuss, and we'll get into sticky stuff. 312-332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
By the way, if you're on the north side of the city, if you're in the northern burbs, half hour from right now, you could be hanging with Cap. David Kaplan from the Cap and Jay Hood show.
What's Cap going to be doing?
So this is going to be at the Howard Street Inn. This is an institution in the north side of Chicago. And you know my story there.
You almost needed to be institutionalized after your experience there.
Howard Street Inn is 6700 West Howard Street in Niles.
That makes sense. Howard Street Inn's on Howard Street.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a great place. We've been there for shows.
I believe so.
They have a good outdoor area, like a screened-in area. It's right by the, TAM Golf Course.
Okay.
Small golf course. I think it's only a 9-holer.
When you're done with this, you need to remind people what happened.
Oh, yeah. I will, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has a membership at that golf course.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Just to tweak you.
So, Cap is doing this I-94 rivalry road trip series tonight at the Howard Street Inn. He'll be quizzing you on Cubs and baseball.
Take that, Sparky!
To qualify you to win a spot and a guest up to Cubs Brewers on June 30th.
Where you can hear the Dirk Nowitzki story.
and many others. The greatest hits. It's June 30th with Cap and Jay Hood. Two fans will win. So head on out there, 6 to 8. We're gathering again. What are you laughing at?
I'm just thinking of Jay Hood sitting next to Cap going, oh, God!
It's so funny. You were asking me the other day, or earlier today, from the promo, when he did the meditation, what Cap thinks in his head while he's meditating, and he's bringing up Bruce Levine and Jesse and me and Black and Abdallah to the Michigan fight. Well, because Cap's one of these random dudes who's walking the hallways of ESPN 1000. Out of the blue, just humming the Michigan
State fight song.
The Oregon State fight song, the Michigan fight song, just randomly.
Most of the time, it's not even a specific song. It's just doos.
Yeah.
Half the time, he's singing the best of Helen Reddy.
Yeah. because when I was on the show, you would hear him coming down the hall.
Yes. To nothing. No tune. He's making his own tune.
He's having his own little song, a long day.
It's the Looney Tune. That's what it is.
Did you just call him a Looney Tune?
No, I said it's the Looney Tune. Yeah. It's great. the last time I was at the Howard Street Inn, I had an appearance there. And I took Mason with me.
Just what he wanted to do. Go have a few beers, throw some darts, and answer some trivia questions.
And in that area, in that Niles area, it's a very, like there's a lot of factories, there's a lot of
commercial,
right? Yeah. Right, I'm trying to look the word for it.
An industrial park.
Industrial park. You got it. Sylvie.
After 15 years, I know how that brain works.
Yes, it's an industrial park, that whole area around there.
Yes.
And my stomach was a little rumbly, and as I've tended to do along my history, I gambled. And I lost. Oh. And I really lost big.
With a child in the back,
and I lost completely big. And 20 minutes until then, I had an appearance at the Howard Street Inn. I live far away from there.
And by the way, Mason's is at this point can't fend for himself because he's too young, right?
He didn't know what's going on. Right. We're just making a pit stop.
Yeah.
Where are we going, Daddy? Because we're pulling off into this trucking yard, and I go into this where they
Daddy's
have,
buying some meth.
And I thought about Yurko, and I remember that this had happened to Yurko before, and what he would do is just get rid of the underwear. And so I was wearing shorts. It was summertime. And I had to go into one of these industrial parks to where one of the dumpsters was. And there was no one in the park. It was a weekend. So I got out of the car. I pulled down my underwear, took them off, and put on my shorts with no underwear underneath them, though. But it did go through.
Oh, my.
It went through. So I made a beeline to the bathroom when I got to the Howard Street. So I got rid of the boxers and
I threw
them away.
You're lucky you didn't get arrested for, you know,
indecent exposure,
debriefing and throwing human poop into a dumpster.
And I spent, so I went right.
With the kid in the back seat.
I tried to scrub the pants and I tried to dry them, but it's still in the brown stain.
Totally naked?
So you're standing in the bathroom at the restaurant
because you had no bottom?
Just trying to scrub?
I think they had a lock on the door.
Like a kid at the urinal? Just pants down?
I think they had a lock on the door. And so it was still brown.
And a camera in the room.
And I had to walk around, basically, and I pulled my shirt down. I tried to stretch out my shirt where the shirt would cover my butt. So no one can tell that I was walking around with a big stain in my shorts.
Anybody
know? I don't know. Why don't you switch
pants with Mason? You could have blamed him. Look what my son did. I can't tell.
I mean, that's dedication for the gig. I mean, how many of us at the station, if we crapped our pants, would still show
home.
Up?
I go home and call in sick.
How many people have a picture with Sylvie from the Howard Street Inn?
With a big turd stain on his
picture, being like, that dude's got poop in his pants.
All right, who led the Bears in rushing in 1993?
Like, have you ever gotten dressed and you notice, like, your shirt or maybe your shorts in the front has a stain that you didn't notice, and you're like a little paranoid that people are going to notice, hey, you look like a dirty SOB. What do you got that stain on your shirt? Imagine walking around with that same paranoia, but you've got some brown stuff on your butt crack, on your shorts, and that for 2 hours I walked around paranoid thinking that a listener was going to, Sylvie crapped his pants.
How uncomfortable was the ride to the truck stop area with a turd in your shorts?
No, it was right. I was right there.
Okay.
It was conveniently located.
I would say
I was 5 minutes from the Howard Street Inn. We were in like the Niles area, Morton Grove area. And I made my way to one of these trucking places that was not doing any business that day. And I noticed the dumpster and I took off my boxers.
That is. And so with that in mind, go see Cap tonight.
Go see Cap tonight.
Go see the Cap and inspect him for an unusual stain.
Cap's usually wearing white pants. It's summer, so you'll know.
That's right. Hey, Cap.
I'm going to get to see Fred. He's been very patient today. Fred, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Big week for the beloved. We find out tomorrow, 20% chance if we're getting Cunningham, Mobley, Suggs, or Green. Are you excited?
Yeah, well, I'm nervous. I mean, this is.
I am excited, but I completely forgot about it until earlier today.
It's a huge coup. If you are able to get Vucevic and then you're able to keep your top four pick, then that trade looks even better. And now maybe you're in business to do something this offseason.
Indeed, but we're in business to do something big regardless, why.
Every year you go.
Would you rather have Ben Simmons at $30 million next year or Lonzo Ball at $23 or $24 million?
I don't want Ben Simmons, so Lonzo Ball.
Why? Tommy,
because I can't. How are you ultimately going to win with a point guard that they're intentionally fouling because you can't shoot free throws and you're not a threat behind the stripe?
Tommy, did you know Ben Simmons' career free throw percentage is 3 points higher than Lonzo Ball's? Now, in fairness to Lonzo, he worked with a shooting coach, Fred Vinson, in New Orleans. But I think the problem with Ben is you bring him here with all these player development guys that we have. This hate on Simmons has just gone overboard.
I don't think it's 13. Hate. It's not hate, Fred. I mean, you had a guy who took three shots in the fourth quarter of a seven-game series.
Of the whole series.
The whole series.
He had 13 assists yesterday in a terrible game. When was the last time that a Bull had 13 assists in a regular season game?
You know what? You're connecting dots that personally, and I may have issues, but I can't connect those dots to Bulls things and 13 assists. I get it. That number looks good on a stat sheet. But in crunch time, they had to sit his ass, and he's your point guard.
I understand, but the issue, he's not a fit with Embiid, who's a traditional center. But you put him in Chicago, and you have Zach LaVine and Vucevic, who both shoot the three at 40-plus percent, he's going to thrive. Fit matters. He's a top-three defender in the league. What's the Bulls' biggest issues? We don't have a point guard. We don't have a playmaker. We don't have an elite defender. He's elite at all three.
I can't spend $35 million a year for the next 4 years and give something up for a guy that I can't trust in crunch time, which you hope to get to, and can't shoot the three and doesn't want to shoot the three at all.
Well, you couldn't trust Lonzo until this year. Why not have faith in these guys?
How much is Lonzo making?
Well, he's a restricted free agent.
Okay.
You're going to have to pay to get him.
He's going to cost $23 to $24 million, according to all my sources.
That's 65% of what you're
who
paying.
Who are your sources? Who are your sources?
I'm friendly with tons of beat writers. They all know me. And he's going to cost that much. He's represented by Clutch. He's going to demand that much, and he's going to cost that much because guess what? New Orleans could still match. You have to overpay to get him. So I mean, I think this is an opportunity to buy low on a truly unique elite talent and have faith that you can fix this like New Orleans did with Lonzo Ball. Again,
Lonzo Ball, thank you. I love you guys. All right, you're the best. Thank you. We appreciate it. By the way,
Lonzo Ball shot 38% from behind the arc this year from threes with 8.3 three-point attempts per game. It's a skill that he has that Ben Simmons does not. He shot 78% from the free throw line this year.
Well, I'm scared because I'm a little bit with Fred. I think Ben Simmons is definitely salvageable on a different team. But what you continue to bring up is I can't agree to it on $35 million a year. You know what I mean? Like, if the salary was different, I'd be all aboard with buying him low. But you're still paying premium salary cap price for a guy who's really, really hurting right now.
And look, it doesn't have to be Lonzo Ball or Ben Simmons, right?
No, it could be Derrick Rose or other.
Right.
What about Spencer Dinwiddie? Can I interest you in Spencer Dinwiddie coming off an ACL?
You can entice me to something other than Ben Simmons right now. And again, I get it. I'm living in the moment. But he has never had a desire to shoot the three. It's never been part of his game. He's never been good from behind the stripe. And now you've got to invest 4 years and $35 million a year in hopefully fixing him. That's just too much of a risk for me.
332-3776 if you want to get in. If we don't get to you, you've got Bleck and Abdallah coming up at 6 o'clock. Then we'll get to you as well. We'll continue to take your phone calls. And wait till you hear what they were doing to pitchers today as they were coming off the mound. They were checking belts? What? That's next. 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at the Home Loan Expert. The Home Loan Expert office for the first-time home buyers. When you close, you will receive a $500 Home Depot gift card. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
My guy Spacebart on Twitter. I believe he has the same birthday as me. Maybe even the same birth date. I think we were born on the same day, September 10th,
1971. Same hospital.
Michael Reese Separated Hospital, City of Chicago. He tweeted me about my story about the Howard Street Inn where you could see Cap coming up at 6 o'clock. Can win tickets to go to see a game with both him and Hoodie. He suggests that I carry a survival pack in the car with an extra pair of underwear, an extra pair of shorts, and some wipes. Therefore, like, it's not a bad suggestion.
No, I think it's a good suggestion. I mean, I'd say probably 20% of the time I at least have an extra shirt in the car.
You have little humans with you. How do you not have wipes?
Isn't that part of the protocol? Don't you have to have
like a little bag of stuff?
They generally don't need them anymore. Like back
just
when
dad
they
does.
Were, yeah, just dad. Dad.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could put it on them. Be like, oh, they're still small. You never know.
Yeah, no, I could definitely say it's for dad. I mean, Waddle's right. I probably need them. They're potty trained.
Of course,
I'm not. Obviously, so. And remember, today was the day that we made the announcement that you can now get us on FM 100.3 HD2. So three easy ways to find us, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. I want to tell you about the sticky stuff here in a minute and what they're doing.
And we're not talking about your trip to the Howard Street.
No, Nick in Cicero wanted to weigh in, though. Nick, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how you guys doing? Real quick about that Brady clip. You know, I think the Bears showed you that they weren't really sticking with Mitch anyway because they paid a king's ransom to get Nick Foles in the quarterback room. So I think it was all just sort of, a little clickbait video, and I guess it worked because here I am calling into the radio.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, here it is for those who didn't hear.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
And a lot of people think it's San Francisco,
well, remember,
as Waddle does.
Remember back in the day where there was the story was is that Belichick was going to trade Brady, and the owner Bob Kraft basically said, "No, we're not going to do that." Now I don't know how truthful that is.
I believe it. The Seth Wickersham piece,
right? I think that's what it was, and that Bill Belichick was going to continue to follow his theory that you give up on a player too soon rather than too late, and that he liked Jimmy Garoppolo that much that they felt like now was the time to part ways and turn things over to Garoppolo. So I believe if I get a vote, my vote's going to him talking about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. Jacob DeGrom is back on the mound today. They have an afternoon.
Dealing.
They got, I think, a doubleheader between the Mets and Atlanta. He had five innings in the books of one-hit baseball.
He's done for the day.
So he's done.
He's done. They brought in a reliever, and his stat line for the day, Jacob DeGrom, five innings pitched, one hit, no earned runs, two walks, six strikeouts. He has lowered his ERA on the season, 70-pitch effort, to .50.
Now, did they take him out because he was on a pitch count because of the sore shoulder from last game, or did he have to come out early because he was having more discomfort?
I don't believe I have the answer, but I'm not assuming that this was not because he was injured.
We were watching, so when they started today checking pitchers.
And by the way, you're right. They have a doubleheader, so this is just a seven-inning game.
Yeah, that's why I'm surprised. Maybe they just wanted to be cautious with him.
70 pitches. They've got a 4-0 lead. No reason to push
okay.
it.
Okay. So we saw video of him coming off the mound. You check these guys when they're coming off the mound, not before they start an inning. They don't want to, like, throw the pitcher off, except for a closer, because then that's the only time you can catch a closer. So it was like going through security in an airport. Yeah. They were asking DeGrom and the other pitcher.
The Braves pitcher had to turn his belt, like, over to show that he didn't have any substance on the inside of his belt.
They were checking the belt. They were checking the hat, right?
I think I actually heard a Moon River at some point as well.
Yeah.
I could have missed. Yes. I may have misinterpreted that, but yeah, they were. And DeGrom had a smile on his face, so it was not an angry pitcher.
Will someone get busted tonight?
No.
Are they all?
If you get busted tonight, you're an idiot.
This is like the dude that gets busted. He can't pass the weed test, like the day of the combine. It's like, what are you doing?
Like, come on!
But would you rather be worse or be better and take a chance of getting caught? 10 games paid.
No, you don't want that shame. You have to walk naked through the clubhouse of the opposing team as somebody rings a bell and says, shame. Shame. No, you don't want that. You don't want to be the first guy pinched by Major League Baseball in the 2021 season for using sticky stuff.
That's a good pull. Who will that be? Who will that be?
You know what? I won't. Nothing shocks me. If you get busted tonight, you're a moron.
Okay. Thank you to Jesse Rogers, also the mayor, Tom Hayes, from Arlington Heights, and Adam Amin. Thank you to Black and Abdallah, who are up in 2 short minutes. They've got a full
big
show today.
Show tonight.
So you can reach them at 332-3776. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
It's the classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.